Hello and welcome to the Tennis Menu's daily ATP final show. We are so excited to bring this to you. Val Febbo here with you. And remember, you can head to thetennismenu.com and get an annual subscription for just $99.90 US, which includes over 600 tennis-specific drills and resources to make you a better tennis coach. We have got a massive program lined up for you for today with some huge breaking news that's come out of Melbourne this morning involving the Australian Open. We will bring that to you. Stay tuned to this video. You do not want to miss what has been announced this morning. Rafael Nadal, he came up trumps against Andre Rublev last night. Not many thought he'd win it with his record at the eighth finals, but he came up in straight. We'll talk to you about that one, but we'll get to this one first. Dominic Thiem overcoming last year's winner in a rematch of last year's final, overcoming Stefanos Tsitsipas in three sets. And as well, we'll talk to you about the final two ATP and WTA tournaments of the season as well. But before we do any of that, we have to introduce this lovely panel that I've got right here. I'm in Phillip Island. These two guys are in Melbourne. Mark Sefulis, the best tennis coach in the business. How are you?
I'm going well, thanks, Val. And someone's living the life up in Phillip Island, enjoying enjoying some time away while we slave our guts out down here. But good to see
you. Still working, aren't I?
Yeah, good to see you in your 1980s Andre Agassi shirt. So it's actually really nice to have you bringing back the heritage of this game. And what an amazing night of tennis, and obviously some huge news out of Melbourne in the Australian Open. I mean, that we'll touch on that shortly. But really exciting times for Melburnians.
Yeah, very much. And well, don't we deserve it? Don't we deserve it? Joel Stone Cold Vrigi joins us as well. Joel, how are you?
Yeah, good, boys. Good. Been a big night of tennis and a big morning as well. Can't wait to break it all down with you guys.
It sure has. But, well, the breaking news, the entire summer of tennis in Australia is being moved to Melbourne. And it came out in the Herald Sun this morning. And, the Tennis Australia has announced that all the lead-up tournaments – we don't have a scope of what it's going to look like yet, but that could involve the ATP Cup, Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide, Hobart, all of them being moved to Melbourne, which is so exciting. I'm not sure whether they'll all be moved to Melbourne Park or whether some of the other cities in Victoria that host tournaments like Traralgon and like some other places that host some challenges might have something to do with this, possibly Bendigo. But this is looking really promising. And at Melbourne Park, Rod Laver Arena is going to be the epicenter of some, well, stunning sporting action. It is going to be the center of tennis in January, which is just amazing for Melburnians like us, because after what we've been through this year, I think we goddamn deserve it.
we do, Val. And I guess the tennis community is craving out for something like this here in Melbourne. Obviously, we were probably the only state that was in severe lockdown for such a period of time throughout this year. And I know there's a lot of people around the world that are going through it now. So, you know, keep your heads up and hang in there, and hopefully you guys can get through it the same as we have. And really exciting news for the whole of Australia, but definitely Melbourne. I mean, you know, we are the sporting capital of this country and
the world, Mark.
Yeah, I know. And to have, you know, all these great events being held in the one spot, I think it was the smartest thing to do, and the only way that it possibly could have run with the quarantine protocols that we do have here for overseas people. And, you want the best players coming, and you can only do that if you've got a hub for a certain period of time. So, looking forward to the Australian Open.
Exactly. And it's going to be interesting to see what media come out, what players do come out, and but I guess all of them will. This is going to be a pretty – I honestly think that we're in for a pretty full-scale tournament. When the Australian Open does roll around, is it at 17 days in a row with no cases here in Melbourne? So it's pretty unbelievable, and hopefully we can continue that trend to get things to a COVID normal state. And when the players come here, we get the hotel quarantine right, because that's probably the most important thing with what we've all learned here this year. And if we can get that right, then we are in for a big tournament. But Joel, Sophia and Linz have just finished as well. Before we get to the ATP finals, we might as well wrap up the actual tour level events of the season. Linz in the WTA Arena, Sabalenka has gone back-to-back winning against Victoria Azarenka in Ostrava, and now she's taken down Elise Mertens in the final of Linz, and she's gone back-to-back with a 7-5-6-2 win there. So that's a really good result for her, and especially after not really performing at the level she'd like at the US Open and the French Open. I think that would be a great way to cap off the season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Look, some bragging rights there as well with a couple of titles against Elise Mertens, who, of course, she played some doubles with and actually won the doubles title in Ostrava as well, which is an interesting little side note too. But yeah, really good end to the season for her. She was someone that we spoke a bit about, Val, on Breakpoint, and saying that she had this nice little run of momentum coming into the end of the season. And for her, probably a little bit of a victim of circumstance in some respects, in that she's hit this really good run of form. But because of course, the health situation, there's not really many WTA events going on. But she does have that kind of game where if she gets a bit of a run on, then she's the kind of player that can really dominate for a period of time, because she does have that power. And when she's really feeling it, she can really club that ball. So look, good little end to the season for Aryna Sabalenka, and hopefully it's some results that can really see her going to 2021 in that same mindset where she can strike that ball.
Yeah, she will have some supreme confidence coming out to Australia. But you are right. It's very weird. The WTA finals obviously not going ahead with the cancellation of the Asia swing for both the ATP and WTA this year. But I think there's not usually any tournaments. There's usually maybe a couple of 125K events for the WTA. So she's actually blessed that she got these couple of tournaments to play and then has been able to win them as well. So to advance her ranking before the end of the season, I think would be something that she'd be absolutely thrilled with. Joel, before we do get back to Mark for some ATP finals chat, Jannik Sinner for his first title as well. That's really interesting because he's the first player born in 2001 to salute on the ATP with his three-set win over Vasek Pospisil in Sofia. So give us a quick synopsis on your thoughts on him.
Yeah, well, first of all, do you guys feel old yet? Because I certainly do. But
that was the year I started school.
I know, it's crazy. But I mean, look, Jannik Sinner is such a talent, as we know, and it's been a really good year for him. We talk of some players that have actually had quite good 2020s. I mean, for a lot of people, it hasn't been a good year, and for quite a few tennis players, that same thought applies. But for him, it's been a really good year. I think he's not quite halved his ranking, but I think his ranking at the start of 2020 was in the 70s, I believe. He's going to
59.
Yeah, so he's going to finish the year, I think, ranked 41 or in the 30s, there or thereabouts, off the top of my head. But yeah, good win for him in a Sofia final against Vasek Pospisil. Sign of things to come. Had a really good run, of course, at Roland Garros. And, I think after he won the next gen finals last year against Alex Dimonor, I think that was the point where we really sat up and took notice, boys, of this kid. And he really has delivered on that performance. He's gone from strength to strength this year, and I can't wait to see what he can deliver next year.
Yep, gone up 7 spots to 37 in the world, and that's a career high ranking for him. That's where he'll most likely finish the year. But the reason we are here is to talk about the ATP finals and what happened last night. And it was Dominic Thiem, as I mentioned before, in the first match, in an epic over Stefanos Tsitsipas, avenging his loss for last year's final of this exact tournament, 7-6, 4-6, 6-3. This match was as tight as it gets. And in fact, it was that tight that only 5 total points won separated the two players, and Thiem was in the positive for that category. And literally the tiebreak was 7-5. So there's your 2 points and the one break of serve that Thiem had extra. So that's it right there. And sometimes, Mark, it is a game of sheer millimeters.
It is. And when you think about 5 points difference, it's literally 2.5 points, really, because if you win one, your opponent loses one. So you're only looking at, a space of 2.5 points, which is not much at all. And you're right. It's those big moments that really count. And, the match was incredible. I mean, the conditions in London are extremely quick. The courts are fast. We're indoor. The balls are flying. And just looking at both matches in general, the average winning percentage on the first serve is over, you know, 75%. I mean, these guys are barely losing points on serve. It's really, really hard to return over there. If you look at both players between Team and Tsitsipas, only won 23 and 22% of the return of serve points on the first serve. So, you know, it's very, very hard to break if you're serving well. And obviously, you know, both players were extremely tight in all aspects of the stats and the way that the match was played. And two one-handed backhands playing against each other. We did mention this in the preview of the show, but, you know, just watching how quick the game was, you know, it's the ability to change direction for Dominic Thiem up the line a few times was probably the standout for me in that he just, in the first point, he just made his intentions known. I think it was a 7 or 8 ball rally and he just pulled the trigger line on a backhand line and won the point. It was like the most amazing start, but it was like, that was his intention was, let's get it going quick. Let's keep the game fast. That's all it's going to be. It's going to be a very reactive game. You're going to have to hit the ball big. If you don't first strike, then they're going to first strike. And that's kind of the way the match was. And, you know, there wasn't much in it, but, you know, obviously Dominic Thiem came through in the end. So well done to him.
Yeah, he was sublime, really. But you mentioned the courts, Mark, and this is something that we don't get a gauge on in the preview shows. We don't get any sort of a gauge on what these courts are going to produce throughout a tournament. They could be quick, they could be slow, they could be bouncy, they might not be, they might skid. The French Open was a prime example of that. We had no idea really what we were going to expect, apart from somewhat with the practice, but these are quick courts. What does this do for the tournament? And who does this suit?
Yeah, I think we mentioned this in our preview show and we talked about, you know, Medvedev and Djokovic having sublime defensive skills. And that's where I felt as though that'd probably be really challenging players to beat at this tournament. And even when you look at the result with Rublev and Nadal, like I know you guys were talking about Nadal and his lack of ability to get through in these tournaments. And even in the practice sets, I watched him against Tsitsipas and he really struggled Nadal in the speed of the game. I think playing Rublev today was a little bit different because the ball was bouncing up for him with the spin. Whereas, you know, the flat ball is going to really hurt. So if you're able to deflect the speeds, if you can return well, at least, you know, break once in a set, if you break once, the set's yours. So, you know, I feel like, you know, you've got to serve well and you've got to be solid on your returns because the points aren't going to last that long. And obviously Dominic Thiem has a very solid serve. There's nothing to write home about, but it's solid. So he's going to make a lot of first serves, going to make you play. And obviously he can hit through the court as well. Doesn't have to always hit heavy. He's got the ability to play heavy or flat. So he's got the variety in his game, but look, I still feel it's going to suit players like Djokovic and Medvedev. I feel like the courts are coming through as long as they serve well. You know, if they serve well, their defensive skills are good enough to handle this slick court. So it is going to be a really interesting first couple of days. I know Rublev's spoken after his match and talked about, you know, he didn't serve well at all today. So if you're not serving well in this tournament, it's going to really hurt you because it's going to take one break and you're done. And that's pretty much how it's going to look.
Well, Rublev, Mark, you mentioned, didn't serve well. Well, he was the only player of the quartet that played last night that didn't hit above 70% in their first serves. He hit at 62%. And his second serve points won were only at 41%. And the others were all in the high 50s. And Nadal himself was at 67%. So yep. that is supremely good from Rafael Nadal. And I saw a couple of players tweet, or a couple of journos tweet that Rafa was serving like it was 2010 and probably when his serve was at its best. And Joel, you look at this tournament, we both picked Andre Rublev to win. So we're both looking like quite fools now.
early days, Val, early days.
Yeah, that's true. And Roger Federer, a prime example of that, lost his first match the last 2 years and has come back and made the semifinals. So there is a next time, as we discussed the other day. So that is the beauty of this tournament. You can lose once and go on and continue in this tournament. Rafa won his first match last year against Daniil Medvedev, came back from 5-1 down in the third and it didn't get through the group. So this is a tournament where anything literally can happen. So looking at the match, Nadal over Rublev, 6-3, 6-4. After what we've seen with Thiem and Tsitsipas, it does make things look a little bit more difficult for Andre Rublev with the way that those two played last night because it was such a high level. Rublev, yes, he can produce this level, but this is his first time in such a big tournament. Do you think that is going to play on his mind at all?
Look, it might. I think there was an interesting stat that was put out last night by Jose Morgado, the Portuguese tennis journalist, and it's only, I believe, I think four of Rublev's 35 or so wins this year on the tour came against the big players in the top 10. So that might be a stat that potentially weighs on him. But I think if you're Rublev, you've got to just look at the fact that he's had so much success this season. But look, I certainly think that if you're a guy in Rublev's shoes, certainly in any sport where you're pitted in a group setting, and when potentially you're not as fancied, despite what you and I say, Val, when you're not necessarily as fancied as guys like a Rafa or a Dominic Thiem, you probably want to get yourself off on a good footing and win that first match. So it certainly is going to make things probably a little bit more difficult for Andre Rublev. You could probably say the same for a guy like Diego Schwartzman as well. But yeah, look, it is going to be difficult for Rublev from here, I think, because Stefanos Tsitsipas and Dominic Thiem are both playing really, really good tennis. And as we alluded to earlier, it was a pretty even match between those guys. But look, I mean, Rublev, he knows he can beat Tsitsipas. So that's certainly something that he can draw upon as well. Of course, beat him in Hamburg.
Yep. And then the next week, Tsitsipas beat him in Roland Garros. So yes, this is a match that we must be excited about. And the next matches have been revealed for this group. It will be Nadal versus Thiem, which we'll preview tomorrow. And that's the match that we so wanted at Roland Garros, but we're going to get it in the World Tour final, or the ATP finals, and it'll be Tsitsipas versus Rublev. But does this change our picks at all? And I know, Mark, you had, I think it was Rafa and Thiem getting through, so they are the two winners from last night. Do you stick fat with your predictions for this group?
I actually had Nadal and Rublev, actually.
Oh, it was two, sorry.
Yeah, but look, I feel like, you know, I still feel Rafa should get through this group. I think, you know, he's in a good position now, winning in straight sets. I think, as Joel mentioned, it does make it very hard for Rublev losing in straight, because once you get your wins and losses to even level, you know, you still go on sets and games. So, you know, he's been quite comprehensively beaten in that match. You know, if anybody else loses in three sets, then it probably pretty much takes him out of that equation pretty simply. So, you know, it is going to make it very hard. I think Nadal played some really good tennis overnight. Dominic Thiem played some great tennis, but you know, I still think Tsitsipas, I think the way he played against Thiem shows that he's still capable. So I think he's still in with a bit of a show as well. I think it's quite open in that group. You know, and look, the courts are going to play a massive factor. I mean, you know, Rublev did say he was extremely nervous going into this match. Does he settle down a little bit? Does he win a couple in straight sets and give himself a chance? Who knows? I mean, we talked about this the other day, that it's a unique format where it's a round robin. You know, you play your first match, get a feel of the conditions, get into the tournament a little bit, and now you can really release the shackles and play. And I feel like, you know, it's a really, really strong group. I mean, we talked about how good this tournament is. I mean, you've got eight of the most informed players. And you know, even we're not even giving Schwartzman and Tsitsipas a go here, but, you know, Schwartzman did beat Rafa only a couple of months ago. So, you know, Tsitsipas won this tournament last year. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're looking at players that are in absolute prime form. So anything over the next, you know, 5-6 days is going to be possible. And it's just whether or not players can adapt to these conditions. It's definitely faster. It's going to be very short points. You're going to have to serve really well. And as we said, you've got to play your best tennis at the right times. And, you know, last night's match with Thiem and Tsitsipas, where, you know, 5 points decides the match, that's exactly what it's going to be. And the best player needs to be standing up in the right moments. And last night it was Dominic Thiem, but who knows who it's going to be over the next few days.
Yep. And I think you're bang on correct, Mark. The straight sets is such an important win for Rafa as well, because it's all decided in sets and games won. And this is where you look at the results and Rafa now is on top of the group without the loss of a set. Rublev now sits at the bottom. You know, it's a fair way to climb back. It can be done, has been done many times before, but it is difficult. And that's why you're right. You do need to get yourself off on a good foot, but it's by no means a chance for Rublev to go out. And we are discounting a lot of players. Stefanos Tsitsipas played a bloody good match last night. And a man we're going to get to very shortly, Diego Schwartzman, can also cause an upset. And that is why we're going to go into the schedule for tonight as well. And we've got Novak Djokovic first up against Diego Schwartzman. Look, Novak owns Diego. And I think if you look at the tournaments that they've played together, They've met five times, and Schwartzman has only taken three sets off him. And that's a little bit of a worry. One of those matches was at the 2017 edition of Roland Garros, where Schwartzman did push Novak to five sets. And that was a couple of matches before Dominic Thiem absolutely wiped him off the court in the quarterfinals. But Schwartzman can push him. But he's going to have to utilize this court speed, isn't he, Mark? And he's going to have to, and I think ball placement tonight is probably going to be the key for him and where he can actually put the ball, because Novak, as we've said, is elastic man and he can get to pretty much anything. So what is he going to have to do to actually negate Novak's strengths? And because they're so similar, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I feel like Diego is going to have to serve well. I mean, I don't think that's his biggest part of his game. And obviously being, you know, 2 foot nothing, he's going to really struggle to get the ball over the net. You know, and that to me is going to be the critical factor. I mean, if you're not serving well on a fast surface, then you're going to be in a bit of trouble. So he needs to serve well. He needs to get himself in the points. And, you know, it's obviously going to be a game off the back of the court. You know, Novak's going to want to try and own it a little bit early on in the rally. He might be a little bit more offensive than normal because Schwartzman isn't notorious for hitting the ball off, you know, big and being this big imposing player. So Novak's going to want to really push him around early on in the rally because that's obviously where the points are won and lost at the moment, being so fast. So, you know, Diego is going to have to serve well. He's going to have to try and attack the Novak Djokovic serve, there's no doubt, and really put him on defense on that first ball. Even though Novak's strengths are his defensive skills, I still feel like Schwartzman has to take it to him. If he doesn't take it to him and he plays Novak's game, it's game over. So that's definitely how it's going to happen tonight. And, you know, I think Novak has to go in, you know, the hot favorite in that match. And
yeah
I think, you know, I'll stick by Novak as my tip. But, you know, I mean, nothing's going to surprise me, though. It's the top eight players in the world. So, you know, well done to Schwartzman on qualifying, and he gives himself a chance.
Exactly right. And there's players, there's many players that you've forgotten have played this tournament and that have achieved such a high level to get here. And Diego Schwartzman hopefully isn't one that we're going to be forgetting because he is such a likable character on the tour. But Joel, it's very rare that you play back-to-back matches against the same player. And the Paris finals saw Daniil Medvedev and Alexander Zverev face off in a very tight encounter. They're going ahead in their head-to-head in their very next match, which is very peculiar. It's not something you do see every day. But this one just poses so many different questions because Medvedev is very much like Djokovic in he's a brick wall and established that in the Paris final. Zverev under a really big cloud off the court. On court, it hasn't seemed to faze him, but off the court, it's getting pretty disastrous. So I honestly don't know what to think about this match. And Zverev, obviously a winner of this tournament 2 years ago. How do you place this?
Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting one. I think if you're in Alex Zverev's camp, you'd have to certainly be pleased that you have that intel of the Paris final that you can look at and say, all right, where did I go wrong against Big Daniil? Same surface, pretty much. So I think in that sense, he'll have that asset to work with. But by the same token, obviously, Daniil will be confident that he has just beaten Alex in a final. I think as well, I think what's going to be really important is temperament. So even though Alex, as we know, off the court, as you said, Val, he's been, you know, going through a bit, and you know, I suppose the process will take its course in that sense. But he hasn't looked flustered on the court so far. But we do know that he can have his moments, as we saw in the US Open final. He seems to have come a little bit of a way since then, but it's probably, well, no doubt it's the biggest event that he will have played since the US Open. So I'm keen to see what he has learned or how far he's come in that sense. But also, Daniil can have his moments as well. And I think it was in Cologne against Opelka that we saw him have a little bit of a meltdown where he lost. Yeah, a little bit of a meltdown in that match. So, look, I think who is going to be able to, you know, keep their cool is going to be important. But look, I'm really looking forward to it in terms of the actual tennis that we're going to see. You can see a lot of heavy hitting, and I'm really looking forward to it. I really am. This should be a great match.
Yeah, well, let's get into our all-important picks for tonight and who we think is going to get over the line. And We'll start with you, Joel, because we've just spoken to you. But so you've got Djokovic and Schwartzman. Who do you see winning that one?
Yeah, look, it's hard to look past. It's hard to look past Novak, unfortunately. Like, I want to give Diego a chance, but when I look at the two players, I just see Novak being Novak and being a much better version of Diego, unfortunately, than Diego is of Diego. But then the other match, I think I'm going to go with Medvedev. I liked his form in Paris, so I'm going to stick with him.
Very good. Mark Sifullis, how about you?
Yeah, no, I'll go Djokovic to beat Schwartzman, definitely. I think, yeah, as Joel touched on, definitely a better version of Diego. They're the same sort of player, but I think Novak just holds the key in the ability to serve a bit bigger and probably play the bigger moments just that tiny bit better, pardon the pun. And I think Medvedev will beat Zverev. And I feel like just the ability to absorb and defend a little bit better than Zverev does. I think the quick court speed might hurt the Zverev forehand a little bit too much. I feel like the Zverev forehand needs a bit of time and he's not going to get much time on this surface. You know, if Medvedev returns well and gets a ball through the court on his on Zverev's forehand wing, then I think he'll take the cake here.
Yep, I agree with both of you, actually. I think it's very rare that all three of us give the same answers, but I think Diego Schwartzman, while he's had such a phenomenal year, I think he might be a chance against possibly Zverev. I don't know if he'll beat Medvedev, but yeah, I don't think he's a chance against Djokovic tonight. Unfortunately for him and little Diego, we've loved watching him progress this year, but also I just think Daniil is going to have too much for Alexander Zverev, and just the way that he played in Paris, I thought he was just supremely brilliant. And I think you're right, Mark, the court speeds are going to suit Medvedev more because he loves the ball coming onto his racket. He loves that counterpunching style and to use the pace of his opponent to for his own gain. So yeah, I do think it's going to be Daniil getting over the line tonight, but we do have some brilliant matches and some quality tennis on our hands as well. So, Mark Sifullis, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting tennis again with you. I can't believe, as I said the other day, we're back for a third time this year. Hopefully, we're bringing a lot of enjoyment to the people at home watching our show. And remember, stay safe if you're watching internationally. We know things are going pretty tough over there. And hopefully, you guys can eradicate this vicious disease very, very soon. But Mark Sifullis, thank you very much.
Thanks, Val and Joel. But yeah, it's obviously challenging times for a lot of people through Europe and through America. So hopefully you guys are doing well. And, you know, we've been through the same thing. So hang in there. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. But yeah, great to see this year-end final going ahead when we probably thought it wasn't going to, you know, with the way that it all is in London at the moment and a lot of things shutting down. So it's great to see it. And tonight will be, you know, no different to last night where the matches were incredible. So looking forward to seeing who comes through and yeah, looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Yep, exactly. And Mark Sifullis, that is why you are the best high performance coach in the business. His head, I get this, guys, his head has not been small enough to leave that office since we did the US Open show. I've pumped it up that much. And yeah, I'm kind of sorry because you probably need to get out and about, but yeah, we'll just try and I'll try and sledge you tomorrow and get this out. But Joel Ferrucci, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure as always, mate.
No worries, boys. See you tomorrow.
See you then. And remember, you can head to thetennismenu.com, get an annual subscription for just $99.90 US, which includes over 600 tennis-specific drills and resources to make you a better tennis coach. It's been a big day, one of the Nitto ATP finals. We're very excited for what tonight's going to bring. Val Febo, Mark Sifullis, and Joel Ferrucci joining you every day on the Tennis Menu's daily ATP final show.